okay, here we are. Now, the government is saying that people are taking the new shots. It's really a booster, technically, but they want to call it a new shot. Fine. They're calling it whatever they want. We don't know how many people are taking it. All we know is what we can find out through talking to pharmacies, which are the primary interface between the injection and the receiver. And they're booked up over a month in terms of Rite Aid. And I don't know about CVS. I don't know about Walgreens, but they're all busy. So people are taking these shots. And I just don't know where to turn to find the truth, because you can't find it in the government. And all you can do is really get an indication by talking to some of these pharmacies and personnel who are involved with giving these death shots. And they're busy. They're busy as hell. So we'll see. I don't know. If you all have any ideas, let us know. But the most recent number was October 12th, when it said Reuters, one of the kings of disinformation, said over 7 million Americans have gotten the updated COVID shot. All right, well, that's the 12th. That's 10, 11, 12, 13 days ago, I guess. So we'll see. I don't know. All right, let's find out if the other half is there. Are you there?
I am here, Jeff. Welcome to another week.
Well, thank you. Very thoughtful of you. That's very nice.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. We have so many sick people in this country, and I just want to go on record again. It does seem, and I think I can speak for both of us here, it does seem that these intervals, they're waves of people, although I think it's a steady incremental thing, but it's reported in terms of waves. I think there are an awful lot of people getting sicker and sicker from these shots. We're not seeing people spontaneously recovering from these shots. They get one or two shots, three shots. It might be okay, they think, for a year, year and a half, maybe. But now we're seeing people who are severely compromised. Their hearts are being overworked to exhaustion, pushing the sludge blood around their bodies. They're clotting, they're stroking. There are all manner of things. I can't even list them all now. But the bottom line does appear to be, and this is backed up by Nurse Anne, that more and more people are going into the hospitals now. She said about 70% with either stroke, brain bleeds, which is a stroke, or heart attacks, heart problems. So if you get it, these shots were primarily designed first to destroy the blood and the immunological system, and then they go after the heart and the brain. What else do you need? I mean, there's a lot more if you want more. To make you understand, and I'm talking to you newcomers, that this shot was designed, created, diabolically evil, and deployed with tremendous success and efficacy. Over 6 billion people have taken these injections now. 6 billion. Oh, and a little quick footnote. One of the scientists, the co-developers of the Sputnik V, Russian version of the vaccine, was found strangled to death in his home in Moscow today. One wonders about things like that. Who did he piss off?
Well, didn't they have an explanation that it was some sort of disagreement over services to be rendered?
I don't remember, but whoever killed him used a belt around his neck. That's what I read. Hard to know.
The story suggests that it was somewhat personal.
As in a female?
No. Read the story. Well, it's not that long.
Send me the story.
Oh, you sent it to me.
Oh, that's the same one? I didn't get through the whole thing.
It's
right,
very short. I mean, it's speculation, but they it was a disagreement over services to be rendered, I guess.
I see. All right, well, services to be rendered can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. I'll have to go back and take a peek. I will. Now, all of you who have been listening, for a long time, and thank you all. We really care about you. You people are the best. Understand, perhaps better than most, the false front of the entire alt news world, the alt news community, which is populated with all kinds of celebrities, people of note, people of renown, people who are obviously regulars, and people who are controlled. This is the alt news is probably at least as much controlled, if not more, in some very important ways as the mainstream media is. All right. You can go from the top of the alt news world in terms of anti-vax and vax warnings. And most of the celebrities, the luminaries at the top, are really giving out good information. It's real. It's not necessarily what we do, but it's good information, and they seem to be trying. Well, those people, believe me, are almost invariably making lots of money, and they are beholden to somebody or some organization or some power structure lurking in the shadows. They're not freewheelers. They're not independents. And I'll start with RFK. In my view, he is completely compromised, as are virtually all the others. Compromised either by outside sources or compromised by their egos or compromised by the simple fact that they're making lots of money. All right, they're going to go where the money goes. And it's just so it ends up in their bank account. Now, we're going to hear a little conversation here, a clip from somebody that we've talked about before on the program. His name is Dr. Joseph Lee, about how his efforts went or didn't go when he was trying to present his very interesting theory to some of the top players, the luminaries in the alt world, the alt anti-vax world, and what he learned. It's a very interesting story. I think it will certainly surprise some of you, but when you hear it, you'll also nod your head and say, yep, I figured that guy or those people were compromised or working their own agenda. They're not working for us necessarily, even though they would fashion themselves as being heroes of the people. They're not. They're something else. They're a hybrid. They're monetarily oriented. They're controlled, they're influenced, their egos are in the way, and they're just people. That's what happens to people when they sense power. And they seek it because it's the ultimate aphrodisiac, it's the ultimate drug. It's power, influence. You're a star, you're a celebrity. So there you go. All right, so tell us what Dr. Joseph Lee came up with, and generally speaking, what he tried to present, and you'll hear him say it in his own words in a couple of minutes, to some of the luminaries, Peter McCullough, Malone, etc., at the top, and how far he got. I'll leave it at that.
Well, Joseph Lee, Dr. Joseph Lee, is an ophthalmologist in California, very good at what he does, a very, very intelligent scientist, doctor. And early on in the pandemic, right around the time the shots were rolled out or shortly before that, he was outraged, and his gripe at the time was that why are we giving an injected vaccine that would be active in the bloodstream for a respiratory virus? And he put together a 70-page document, probably 71-page document, you know, explaining the absurdity of this, how it can't work, won't work, and you know, the vaccine should be stopped because, on principle, it can't work. And he pursued this with the NIH, Fauci, and then a number of the so-called anti-vaxxers, and although initially they greeted him warmly, it appeared that once they realized he had a valid case, they sort of distanced themselves from him and stopped talking to him. And in the meantime, he was deplatformed from social media, various platforms on social media. And then again, more recently, he came up with a very compelling theory to explain the clotting that is occurring with these vaccines, and he's calling it the string theory. And we reviewed this, I don't know, a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, where when somebody is making antibodies to this spike, because it's a free-floating spike and it's not attached to a virus, you're actually making antibodies to the top and the bottom and possibly 30 other epitopes that are on this thing. And then when you keep getting boosted with different versions of the spike, you're going to make different antibodies to different parts. And over time, having these spikes floating in the bloodstream like that with various places for antibodies to attach, you're going to create long chains of antibody-antigen complexes. Now, an antibody-antigen complex all by itself, just one, can thicken the blood. But if this thing ends up turning into a long chain and strands, it can really thicken the blood and may explain in part propensity for clotting that people are having. And that would include any kind of spike that you're breathing in and different versions of that spike. If you're making more than one type of antibody to it, that could set the stage for creating these chains of antigen-antibody complexes. So he has been trying to get the attention of several regulatory agencies, and but also, you know, getting nowhere with them has appealed to several of the anti-vax people, and is not making much headway with them either. So he describes his interaction with these people and how they treated him, and he's left scratching his head thinking, you know, I thought you people were anti-vax. I mean, I'm giving you plenty of information here, compelling evidence that you know, these things need to be stopped. But I you know, I think what he's missing is that, you know, the nefarious intent that we believe is behind these, that I think, you know, we've known from the beginning, this is somebody that's approaching it believing that there was good intent with these things, and it just kind of went off the rails.
Right. The interesting part of it is the celebrities you're going to hear named and how they were not at all suddenly interested in Dr. Lee's theory, which makes perfect sense when you look at it. And he's talking about threads or fibrils in the blood. All right. They're like a chain, and he calls it a thread, and it's very smart. And it's certainly probably, in our estimation, a player in this game of clot the blood and die. It happens. So it's a pretty interesting little vignette here. We're going to play this for you now. And it at the very least is something that should have been welcomed and entertained and explored and even co-presented by some of the luminaries in the field. But it's not happening. So even more suggestive that would be of something important that this man may have come up with, because what he did is very logical. All right, here we go. This is Dr. Joseph Lee, to be formal, as a guest on the J.J. Cooey podcast. All right.
What happened was, you know, after I reached out to the NIH, CDC, FDA, like was getting nowhere, I was getting really depressed. And so I finally started reaching out to anti-vax, because I thought the proper approach to all this was to, you know, stay in the science world and reach all the, you know, the NIH, FDA, CDC directors. And after a while, I realized I'm not getting anywhere. I couldn't believe how many of them would just say no. And it was just utterly shocking to me, because I'm giving you this the problem, and you guys are just walking away from this. I remember talking to an epidemiologist who was a little bit helpful to me. I said, when I send you the information, please email me back so I know you got the information. This is how they were. They just weren't trying to run away from me, right? So then I started reaching out to other people, and I remember reaching out to lots of other people. So Senator Ron Johnson was in the news, right, because he's anti-vax. I reached out to his staff. They loved my information. I was making quite good headway. And we had phone calls set up, and we talked a couple of times, and it was really moving well, and I thought they were going to use it.
Oh, you just pulled out your mic or something. Check your microphone. You, like, pulled it out or something.
Hold on.
How's that?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so I said, why wouldn't he use it? And then they said, no, we talked to our doctors, and they said it's not an issue.
Wow.
And you know who their doctors were? Malone, McCullough, and Corey.
Yeah, then we just have to get Ron Johnson on the phone again because he's listening to me now. So we have the opportunity to brief him with Denny Rancourt. So we're going to use Denny Rancourt's data, your biology, and mine, and we're going to update him in like less than 3 days.
Oh, you're connected.
Yeah, I am connected, and we're going to convince him because I think he's convincible. He's just a guy who doesn't.
You know how strong this is.
I do.
This is incredible. So then, you know, they didn't help me back then, and I only had the lung barrier issue back then, the fasting, which to me was huge still. But they didn't want to listen. I didn't know that they were behind Ron Johnson staff not working with me. I had no idea. And then I reached out to RFK. You know, I've been working by myself for 2.5 years. And when I reached out to RFK and he responded, I was so happy because I talked to his attorney because the best way to get to these people is their attorneys have their cell phones or their office phones. So I found it, talked to him. He gave me 2 minutes. I spilled it, sent him all the information. His attorney must have been impressed enough to forward it to RFK that day. RFK was impressed enough to send it to all his doctors, 10, 12 people. 3 hours later, no one moves that fast. So I knew he felt this was something. And then they beat me up for a couple of days. And I didn't know anyone. I didn't recognize anyone but Nass. I gave her a nickname, Nasty Nass. And Malone. I didn't know McCullough at the time. I didn't know Corey at the time. And by the end of our emails back and forth, I basically said, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Wow.
Because if you're anti-vax, there is no paper trail on earth better than the one I'm giving you. With copyrights and everything well documented, 73 pages of that, to Fauci with the reply from Dr. Emily. I'm like, I got great information and great science behind it. And you guys are going to turn this away? I have no idea who you are. And that was my first realization that maybe anti-vax leaders had another agenda. So then I didn't do anything.
Maybe anti-vax leaders have another agenda. Remember that.
Depressed. Because the happiest day was when I got through to RFK. And then, you know, I was miserable and dark. It was just bad for about a month. I did nothing. A few months later, you know, I had back surgery, and I somebody said, oh, you need to go on Twitter because you'll grow big. So on October 22, last October, I got on Twitter, got no headway for 2-3 weeks. And then I wrote this big thread about Fauci covering up the biggest mistake in medicine. And I got 10,000 followers in a day, and I grew to like 45,000. And RFK was constantly in the picture, meaning David Whiteside is supposedly his grandson. And he was a podcaster, and he wanted to do a podcast with me. I had like a lot of podcasts back then. I did one with you too. And yours was by far the best. And, you know, he wouldn't get back to me. First we scheduled, and then the emails dropped off, David Whiteside. And I found out, somebody told me, oh, I think that's because he's RFK's grandson. Maybe that has something to do with it. And so I got a little annoyed, and I emailed Children's Health Defense directly. And I said, what the hell's going on? And they emailed me back and said, RFK Jr. is off the grid. He went off to write a book. He doesn't take any cell phone calls, nothing. I'm like, really? So I felt like he was avoiding me because if my stuff does grow big, then the issue for him would be he had declined it. He'd rather no one know that he declined my information. So he's trying to avoid me, not talk to me ever. And so, you know, then I found out McCullough and Malone, you guys, just a minute, you guys are pretty big on Twitter. You guys have to help me. But you're the guys that rejected me with RFK. And then later I found out they're the ones that made Senator Ron Johnson's staff reject my information. And I'm like, oh, you guys are assholes. So I nicknamed Malone, Moron Malone. And McCullough seemed a nice enough guy, so I gave him a ticket. You know, he seemed a little timid and not aggressive, but dark. Because look, if you're in front of the on a show and you're talking about all these horrible side effects people are having with COVID vaccine, but you had information that was incredible that could have stopped the vaccine in its tracks with the antibody not getting into the lung, documented in 73 pages with replies from Dr. Fauci, and you're not going to use this information? That maybe you were helping Fauci cover up the biggest mistake in medicine. That's McCullough and Malone and Corey. And see, nasty Nass. See, when I saw her on that email with RFK, I had already talked to her a month or two before. And she was a freaking clueless woman. Didn't know what a Dalton was. And I was very polite and explained everything. And she said, no, it's not important. And I emailed her and she said, no, I don't think any of it's important. And she rejected everything. So when RFK forwarded all this information and I saw her name, and Malone, you know, Malone is a scientist. And he's the scientist in the group, right? He's not as smart as you, but... So I thought Malone would listen. And so that's why I nicknamed him Moron, because like, I give you the best science right now. And you are going to pretend you don't even know it? Or are you going to pretend you didn't read it?
Okay, I think that's pretty much the idea we were trying to give to all of you, that not everything is it seems, and not everyone is who he or she appears to be. There's a lot going on here. Call it the deep state of the anti-vax world if you want, but they'll pretend, many of them, to be on our side, but this guy was given the cold shoulder. They stiff-armed him is what they did. And if he's correct, that McCullough, he called him McChicken, I think, and Bobby Malone literally cut him out of Senator Ron Johnson's schedule and took care of him with RFK, who didn't want anything to do with him. Look, there's just a lot going on behind the scenes. That's the point. You want intrigues? You want soap opera storylines? Knock on any door in this world, and especially the alt news community. It's a real treacherous walkthrough for all of us, and I'm in it all the time. Erica is, and you are too. We're supposedly part of the alt news, but I don't like to be labeled, so I don't do that, but that's pretty much it. Bottom line again is, when you find the alt news for your first time, and you think you've found the truth, be real careful. Be real careful. That's the best advice I can give you.
Well, I think it helps to make a distinction between alt, meaning alternative, and independent. And there are very, very few independent journalists out there nowadays. They're all beholden to someone.
Well, you and I, and I honestly would have trouble pointing out to most anyone else, there's a lot of money in this, huge amount of money. How many times have we pointed out somebody starts all of a sudden getting the fast lane, fast track, he or she is all over the place on all the high-end, all the A-list shows, podcasts, whatever they are, and they're all of a sudden having their own superstores, lots of supplements, lots of money. So it's very easy to corrupt people. Very easy.
Mm. Yeah, I seldom see really anything groundbreaking or what's the word? Earth-shattering, actionable in the alt news.
Innovative. Truly breakthrough in terms of technology understanding. No, they'll bounce. It's like a pinball machine. They bounce from idiocy to idiocy, from hydras to graphene oxide, and on and on and on, all the way down the pinball board, bing, bong, bong, bong. And it's all misdirection to one degree or another.
I mean, just look at the narrative we were fed for two and a half years on the contents of the vials. First it was the Hydras, then trypanosomas, and then it was spions, which became graphene oxide, which became self-assembling nanoparasites. And I think, you know, I knew right away that was bunk, but most people didn't. Most people fell for it. But I think it was all just to distract from, you know, the seriousness and the gravity of what was really in there, which was these DNA contaminants.
Right.
And now, for whatever reason, they've picked this particular time. I think because the vaccine it's obvious it doesn't help anything. In fact, it's really creating a lot of illness and disease and death. So people have caught on to that. They're not taking them. And now I guess they can allow the lawsuits to be filed as they're going out of, you know,
yeah,
filing for bankruptcy.
Well, what Eric is saying is that Pfizer and Moderna now are in the crosshairs of many lawsuits, which are apparently in the works or will be filed soon. But you just saw, was it last, I guess it was Friday I mentioned, that Moderna and Pfizer were chalking up huge stock losses, 36%, 38%, stuff like that, in one or two days. Now, a company can't take that kind of hit without eventually falling into real severe trouble. And I was making the observation that all these suits are coming, who are they going to sue? If these companies declare bankruptcy and they're gone, who's culpable? Good luck.
Well, you've got those companies, but was it ever really them? You know, there were grounds to sue within the first
from day
month.
One.
You know, Brooke Jackson's case there, where they fudged, falsified the clinical trials, wasn't that enough?
There were so many opportunities for major lawsuits to be filed.
Yeah.
And what happened on the surface kept everybody looking this way and that. There'd be another new boogeyman every other week or every other month,
right,
to chase after, to misdirect people, and then these others began coming out of the walls. There's an endless parade of people who show up out of nowhere. Just remember that. That's the age-old way to become alerted that there may be a ringer in front of you when these people pop up out of nowhere and all of a sudden on the A-list program circuit. It just doesn't happen. Somewhere, remember Dr. Strangelove and the big board in the background, the big board. There's a big board somewhere, but it's in a computer, obviously. And most of this entire alt news world of information is being controlled by the Mossad Zionist group, 8200. I've got a story up. It's up in headlines. I would ask all of you to please go look at that. You're not going to hear more about it, probably at all. They'll make it vanish again. But this group, literally in charge of what you see, what you think, how you hear, and ultimately what your opinions are. It is a masterpiece of mass mind control. Make no joke about it. It's the truth. And it's Unit 8200. 8200, they call it. So don't forget that. Very important.
Yeah, it's true. It really is a battle for the mind.
The story is called How Israeli Unit 8200 Decides What You Will See and How You Will Think About It.
Mm-hmm.
This is Worldwide Mind Control. Wake up and learn. It's a Rents video. But you've not heard about this before. If you have, you're very rare. This is one of the big secrets. This is how they do it. So somebody pulled the information out. We made a video and put it up there. Israeli Unit 8200. And what you see and how you think are controlled and literally created by this unit. So you think you're a free thinker? Think again. Old news, really, but it's critically important now. Now more than ever. All right.
Yeah.
What else do we have here now? We have some readers to do, to bring you the inside truth on what human beings are going through. More and more all the time, it does seem that these, I don't know how you would explain it easily, but there are terms, time limits, where these plateaus of ever worse vax injuries are manifesting and showing up. And then there are the people who just don't wake up at night. Now, you might want to tell that story, if you want to, about a low heart rate monitored by somebody. No names needed,
yeah.
No locations needed.
Yeah,
that's really
actually
important. Yeah.
I have a friend who's a exceptionally good athlete, a woman, and she took the vax. The first two, I don't know if she added more to it. She may have. But to track her training, she wears an Aura ring, which is a way to measure your biometrics, your heart rate variability, oxygen saturation, you know, things of that nature. And it's, you know, a ring, a wearable. You can wear this ring on a finger, and you can wear it while you sleep. And it gives you some indication of how your body is coping with your training, physical training. Well, she was hoping to do a endurance event next weekend, and she came down sick this past weekend. And according to the readout on her Aura ring, her heart rate variability plummeted down into the 20s, where you'd typically want to see something in the 90s. A heart rate variability is an indication of the health of your autonomic nervous system, how well your autonomic nervous system is responding to environmental stimuli. It's kind of
Think of that as the wiring in your body, the neurology, the wiring. It's electrical. It controls so much in your body. But above all, it controls how your heart beats, the autonomic nervous system. Think of it as you're electrically wired, and that's one way to look at it.
So in the throes of her illness, she posted this about her heart rate variability, which is, that's extremely low. That's,
What was it again?
I think 20, when you'd want something like 90.
Now, your heart rate drops down to 20 beats per minute, right?
No, it's not. It's not heart rate. It's heart rate variability, and the 20 is a score. So, once you've worn this device for a period of time, it creates an algorithm, and it knows what would be normal for you. And when you don't have a good heart rate variability, it means you're susceptible to things like maybe sudden death. Your heart just stops. It's a sign of severe fatigue, and your autonomic nervous system is not regulating your metabolism very well. So apparently this is the third time she's had COVID, which is, if you're vaxxed, how come you keep getting sick? I mean, we know the answer, but it's really sad to see this. So she's not in a good place right now, and I'm sure wondering why. But and somebody else chimed in the comments on this post that the same thing had happened to her in the past week. She fell ill also, and again, her heart rate variability plummeted to something in the 20s when normally you'd want something in the 90s. And it makes me wonder, the fact that this is occurring at night, is this a reason why some people are going to bed and not waking up? Don't know. If more people wore these biometric wearables, mm-hmm. you might be kind of alarmed at what you see from time to time.
It's
now, this is somebody who's, outwardly healthy, I mean, fit, uh-huh. healthy, does not appear to be sick in any way, but yet,
right.
Evidently there's a lot going on beneath the surface.
Right. If your neurology, your autonomic nervous system, the electrical control system of your body, is showing with these biometric monitoring devices that low of a heartbeat, a cadence while you're asleep. You could easily, the heart doesn't get a signal, it just stops.
Yeah, that can happen when the heart rate slows. And a lot of athletes like to pride themselves on a low heart rate, like 40, 35. I've even seen 35 beats a minute. That's all well and good. It certainly indicates you've got a strong heart. But if there's too much time between beats, it's possible that the heart just doesn't get the signal in time to beat again.
And it just quits. Partly because if you're vaxxed, your heart is already on a fast track to a quick demise, an end. It cannot push sludge blood around your body. It was designed to push liquid, not sludge, not clotting sludge.
Right.
And you know that, you all know the story by now. Go ahead.
Well, we don't know what's happening to the heart muscle itself, the myocardium, the pericardium. You know, if there's spike in there or inflammation. Now, remember, the latest data indicates, or latest study showed, that everybody who had a vaccine can expect some degree of heart damage.
Everyone.
And the heart, the muscle doesn't replace itself. It heals. But it heals with scar tissue that doesn't conduct electricity very well.
You know, you make a very good potential theory here of how people are just dying out of the blue. And I keep going back to the fact that the heart was not designed to push this kind of thick gelatinous sludge around. And it's just working overtime and triple time. And it gets tired. And it gets worn out. It's going to shorten your life no matter what if the heart has to push this kind of blood around. The heart will not last as long. It's under tremendous strain and duress. It can't.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
And then,
okay.
You know, you get that cardiac... I'm drawing a blank. Hypertrophy. You know, some of the chambers enlarge while others don't, and you get a kind of a misshapen heart that doesn't beat normally.
An enlarged heart.
Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. That's what I'm thinking.
Now you should have asked me. I would have told you. All right. Let's go to our human file and see how people out there are reporting their lives are going. October 13, about halfway down, rapid aging after the vax. Now, we've heard this and we've reported this many times. People say that, you know, I look in the mirror and I look 10 years older or whatever, or my mother is looking awful now. She looks old. She talks old. So what's going on here? Let's see if we can get some input from some of the reporting parties here. And here's the first one. Rapid aging. Collagen breakdown post-vaccine. It's been 13 months for me. I used to look 10 years younger than my age. Now I look slightly older than my age. Feels like I have aged more than a year per month over the past 13 months. Muscle loss, breakdown of the collagen in the muscles, wrinkly skin, slow to heal, minor cuts. This is on top of all the neurological stuff, pain, extreme fatigue, etc., etc. Have you asked your doctor about the collagen issue? Have they had an opinion about the reason and how to test for whatever is wrong? Or is it just the extreme stress our bodies have been put through? Thank you. And there's a number of responses to this first post. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of people chiming in. Same with me. It's horrible. Another one, same here. What can we do to help this? Does anybody have any success with anything? another one, same. I've aged 10 years in appearance since the vax. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Next one for me. I now have mold. Compliments of Pfizer. Mold rapidly ages you. Have you been tested for it? Next one, same here. Neurological, joints, etc., plus hands are awful. Press in my thumbs, and they stay pressed in. The neurologist didn't bother with it. He said it was anxiety.
Anxiety, uh-huh.
Someone else says, I take collagen pills, and it totally helps. Another one says, I have only recently begun to unsag, unbag, and fill back out. My muscle is returning slowly, but I already fixed the neuro part of my issues, and I believe those issues played a role. But when I went on glutamine for my head, I also upped my glycine and NAC because those three create glutathione. So that may also play a role in the recovering appearance. Well, it's true. Glutamine, which does make up the glutathione molecule, which your body uses to detoxify and battle oxidative stress, it will steal it from muscles and skin if it isn't getting enough from the diet. So that could be one reason why people are losing skin, collagen, or having muscle loss. It could be a lack of glutamine. But then it could also be, you know, if the nerves aren't firing, the muscles will atrophy.
Right. And the neurology is being interfered with, damaged by the spike protein.
Or lack of oxygen.
That too. In other words, your electrical system is corroding, the wiring is becoming frayed, well, in actuality, it's becoming blocked, but it's everywhere. That's your body's electrical system. Not good. All right, some more here. Someone else wrote in, me too, exactly the same thing. Next person, I could have written all this myself. I haven't asked about it, as I'm sure I'd be told it's the menopause, same cause as the brain fog, fatigue, and even the neuropathy, apparently, despite a hormone panel proving I'm not menopausal. I am sure I read the uncontrolled MCAS can cause tissues with connective tissue and collagen. Can cause issues with the connective tissue and collagen. But I can't remember the detail, sadly. Infrared light apparently helps collagen and neuropathy, so I need to get back to doing that as well as to try collagen supplements. Someone answers again, same here. This is a very big theme out there, obviously. People aging after the injections. Next person, will collagen supplements work? And someone answers, I was just telling my husband last night, I have always been told I look younger for my age. Now when I look in the mirror, I feel like I have aged 10 years in the past two. An answer to that, me too. I used to be mistaken as a teenager. People thought, what is M? All right, maybe a pop star, I don't know. Somebody's daughter and I were sisters. I look much older now, and skin has lost elasticity. And another one. I thought I was crazy. I feel like I've aged so much in 18 months. My skin, my joints, F this damn shot. I regret it every day. I'm 90% better, but still worry constantly that I'm going to drop dead every day. Or that any little anything is going to bring back all my original symptoms. Not good.
Yeah, that's a common fear amongst these people. Just waiting for the other shoe to drop. It continues.
Not a good way to live life. Not fun. And they are afraid.
I've aged too. I spent a year plus in tears. It takes a toll on you. I don't even care about the wrinkles. I just want to be pain-free so I can enjoy my life. Another one says, mitochondrial dysfunction. Another one. Did you try high-dose amino acids? Collagen synthesis is supported with vitamin C, copper, glycine, and aminos. I also use collagen hydrolysate. I don't have much pain anymore, and I did gain back my muscles. Another one, stress. It is the absolute worst thing for your skin. Adrenaline, cortisol, insulin spikes, immune issues, weight loss, gut issues, insomnia, they all take a toll. Drink plenty of fluids, fresh air, and gentle exercise for better circulation. Moisture, cut down on sugar, stimulants, and work on getting your nervous system out of chronic fight or flight. Collagen supplements have not been proven to help with skin elasticity or connective tissue. Vitamin C, E are very beneficial. And last one, yep, I've aged 20 years with this. So,
common theme, and what the overlying concern is, all of these stories we tell you, we are watching very closely to see if the unvaxxed are beginning to manifest these same symptoms. And we're beginning to see more and more of that. The unvaxxed, the shed upon, are beginning to show signs of being damaged.
Yeah, more and more. Well, you know, if all you need is the protein, the spike protein, which is being shed from the vaxxed, that, you know, the spike protein is all it takes to induce the same disease, the same type of blood clotting, the same damage to the endothelium, you know, and everything else that goes along with it.
Right.
But those two things alone, if you thicken the blood and inflame the endothelium and the blood vessels, you're going to have problems.
Exactly. All right. Let's see. There's another one here, which I think we read. Did we not do the dental ordeal one?
We did do it.
I think so, yeah. Okay. That's a good one. All right.
There's muscle atrophy. This kind of goes along with the skin aging.
Oh, yeah. Go to it.
For those of you who have experienced muscle atrophy and have been able to start exercising again, does it seem like you are gaining muscle mass commensurate with your activity? Or is it still minimal to no gain? Despite being active again, my calves are not gaining, which is in turn causing tendonitis and weak ankles. Very frustrating. First answer, I'm not improving muscle mass, and now I'm having some exercise intolerance. I've been using a treadmill to rebuild my calf muscles. Another one, I've been weightlifting again, only for 3 weeks, so no gain so soon. Muscles do fatigue easily. I have a lot of pain in my wrists. Another one, I'm trying really hard to regain muscle as well. No luck yet, but I'm increasing my exercise more and more each week, which is more than I can say for a year ago. Another one, a guy says, my calves are deteriorating, it seems. No matter what I do, I cannot put on any muscle gain. And I had bolder calves before. Robbed of my health, which in turn is slowly robbing my life. So frustrating, isn't it? And another guy says, I too have lost my calves. I haven't tried any exercises or weights yet. On my feet all day at work, I try to do calf raises while standing. So far, I don't see any mass. Is it possible to get this back? And what causes this?
What is it?
Well,
I don't understand that. Is the calf some kind of a key measurement about muscle mass? And what are boulder calves?
Maybe another word for well-defined, shapely.
It doesn't sound... I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. I think a better word might be in order for that, but sculpted calves. How's that?
Oh, that's a good one. No, yeah. I would guess that they're having an issue with their glutamine cycle. Glutamine is used in the body for a lot of different things. And when the body needs more of it and it's not being supplied by the diet, it will take it from the muscles. And the immune system is very demanding for glutamine. You do need glutamine to have a normal immune system. So I suspect that's part of it. It may not be all of it. But then you have a glutamine cycle in the body that's needed to metabolize ammonia. And as we've heard, there are a lot of these vaxxed injured people, maybe even not injured knowingly, are having issues with ammonia buildup. So there's clearly something wrong with that urea cycle, which needs glutamine to function.
Right. Well, I for those of you who are new, neither Erica nor I have been injected or even tested. We luckily figured the game out early on. The testing, we don't know what that was all about, but it was clearly up to no good for reasons that we aren't sure about yet. But no, I'm okay. I went in to buy a six-pack of beer, and I was carded the other day. So, right. Just a little humor out there. All right. Anyway, this whole thing about aging, we've heard this for a long time, and it seems to be proliferating. It's not going away. So this is a very, very tragic weapon that has been conceived and deployed against humankind.
Mm.
Horrible.
Yeah, it is.
And then we have the issue of automobile wrecks all the time, that which we'll never hear about. And then there was the pilot, 44-year-old Alaskan Airlines pilot, was off duty and was flying on a regular commercial run on the West Coast somewhere, and he was sitting in the jump seat, which is the third seat, I guess, behind the pilot and co-pilot, just an empty seat, and other personnel, pilots, can ride there while they're just transiting home. Well, this guy at 44 decided that he was going to shut the engines down on the aircraft when it was in full flight. They had to jump him, wrestle him. They somehow got him out of the cockpit, restrained him, locked the cockpit door. 44-year-old Alaska Airlines pilot now has been charged with 83 counts of attempted murder, among other things.
Boy.
Vaxxed?
So it's almost like a psychotic event.
A break with reality? Exactly. I will wager anything this guy's got several shots. These professional airline pilots, most of them do.
So there's so many different ways these shots can affect the brain. You know, they're directly neurotoxic.
Yeah.
But also the derangements in metabolism can result in, you know, really impact the brain in negative ways.
True. All right, we got to say goodnight, and thanks to all of you for caring. Do share these programs, and we will be back with you Wednesday. I can't forget what day it is sometimes. Great job tonight, partner. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone. Okay.
Back in the Flash with Mitchell Henderson.